Good morning and welcome to our Wednesday morning chapel. Today we'll be using an order of service known as Matins, and some of you may not have ever been through the order of Matins. We're not using the entire service, but parts of it today. Take out your hymn book, if you would, and turn in the front to page 114 to start with. Page 114 in the front part. And you will see one of the oldest songs or hymns in the Christian church called the Te Deum Laudamus. And that hymn is such a beautiful kind of survey of the whole Christian faith. We're going to sing that after the devotion today, but I wanted you just to notice it before we begin and look at the verses, because it's a little challenging if you don't know how you're following it. So verse 1. There are two lines, then you go down to verse 2, and then back up to 3, and so on. So make sure you're following the lines with that when we get to that beautiful hymn. Then please, if you would, turn to the beginning of the order of Matins, and that is on page 109. Page 109, and join me there in the confession of sin. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. Oh, come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts, and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of Your holy name. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Please rise for the versicles. Be seated for our scripture reading. Our reading for today is taken from 1 John, the first chapter, verses 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These are Your words, Heavenly Father. They are Your truth. We pray that You would increase our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, when I was a new professor here, I was asked to speak at a kind of a special seminar that was here on campus, had to do with leadership. And I decided to do a little activity that each student would go sit off by themselves for about 15 minutes and took a sheet of paper that had some questions on it. It was really a self-evaluation type handout. And one of the questions on there had to do with, what are some of the negative things or criticisms people have had of you in your life? And what are things that are maybe negative characteristics or traits that people have had that they've mentioned to you? And I remember when we came back together, one student said, this is really hard. This is not an easy thing to do. And in our discussion, one of the young ladies there said that she had been frequently told by people that she was very arrogant. And it started a discussion about the subject of arrogance. And the next day, when a lot of the students mentioned that they thought that this was one of the hardest problems with people if they have arrogance to be around them and things. The next day, this young lady came in to talk to me, and she said, that discussion last night made me realize I have never had any friends, and maybe that's the reason. Honest self-evaluation is very important in life, but man, is it hard. It is very difficult. It helps keep our egos in check. It maybe would help us be better co-workers with people or roommates. It may help you properly evaluate yourself in the dating world to know exactly where you fit in there. When people lie to themselves, it is generally called self-deception or self-delusion. There's a psychological process involved inside of us where we try to convince ourselves to avoid very uncomfortable truths about ourselves because we just don't like to hear that. I don't either. It's a very, very difficult. We like to get off the subject fast once it starts to pick on our deficiencies. St. John, in the text before us, is showing us how a faulty evaluation of ourself can have eternal consequences when it comes to our spiritual relationship with God. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, he's not just addressing the concept that we theologically refer to as perfectionism, that somebody thinks they've never, ever had any sin. I don't think there's a person in this room that would think that about themselves. But it's more subtle than that. It has to do with how we evaluate ourselves among other people and looking at other people in the world. It's hard for us, I know it is for me, to think back on my sins. It's hard for me to think back on the struggles and weaknesses that I've had in my life. My pride just has a hard time taking that. And this is a condition, it's easy for us to kind of just not want to deal with that. It's a condition that's easy for us to fall into, especially when we have been raised in the Christian faith. And especially when we have probably tried in many ways to follow what God says in various aspects of our Christian lives. We try to be careful with what we say. We try to be careful with what we do and things. And especially when we're around fellow Christians. So there's a downside to that that the devil can use against us sometimes, and that is of self-righteousness. It is not hard for you or me to find somebody, even on this campus, or someone we know that has done things far worse than you. A lot of them. Maybe the majority of people you know. And so it's very easy for us to kind of hold ourselves up in light of that. We love comparisons that make us look good, to hold ourselves up in front of people and think, God, I am so grateful. I'm not like that. And this is the faulty self-evaluation that St. John is addressing. We can deceive ourselves because it's hard for us to have to deal with the truth about our fallen condition. In the Middle Ages, life in monasteries was rather interesting. The idea was to separate yourself from all the sin in society in order to keep yourself more pure before God and to keep yourself away from all that sin that's out there in the world. Martin Luther lived this life for a while, and then he wrote this later about himself. He said, this righteousness of mine was nothing but a cesspool and the delightful kingdom of the devil. He realized that that by trying to imagine that somehow he was preserving such a righteous, clean, pure life, and that how much better he was than the rest of the world, that the devil took advantage of this and pumped himself up. It's not insignificant that in his parables and stories, Jesus often chooses characters for those parables to represent self-righteousness who are religious people. They are what we would think of as pastors and professors of religion today. They are people that would attend a college like Bethany, primarily for much of its moral base and things like that. It's not just a happenstance that Jesus selects people who are very religious to often portray this self-righteousness. Only one can properly analyze and evaluate you and me, and that is God himself through his holy word. And this is a very personal work that takes place down inside of us. It's hard for us to keep our focus on our own problems and sins and weaknesses, and to just make that the importance of bringing that daily before God in repentance. Dr. Walther used to talk about that we are kind of like a traveler that has a pouch, and a pouch on the front and a pouch over the back with a satchel over his shoulder. And the one in the front contains our neighbor's sins and problems, and boy, we can see that. The one on our back is our own, and it's much bigger, but we don't like to look at that. We don't like to talk about that. The great paradox of Christianity is this. The true spiritual life begins with a recognition of your own spiritual death inside of you and the sewer that is your mind and your life. All other religions begin by inviting you to evaluate yourself in the eyes of God as if you had something to offer him. God comes to us through his word and tells us that true religion does just the opposite. It starts by causing you to die before God in terms of your goodness and to realize just how completely undeserving I am and you are of anything that he might offer us. Simply acknowledge that and confess that. Then, and then alone, does God come along through his word and sacraments to lift you up off of your knees and to bring you to the cross of your Savior. And to then shower you with his mercy and forgiveness, his tenderness and compassion. And through the waters of baptism and through faith to dress you in the only righteousness that will stand up before God on Judgment Day. The righteousness of your Savior and not yours. There's a reason that in this sanctuary we don't have a painting of Moses and the Ten Commandments above our altar. Because that would do one of two things. It would either drive you to despair, knowing you can't really live up to it, or it would possibly make you feel self-righteous that you're doing so good at it. The image that God would have us always keep before us is the cross of our blessed Savior and the blood that he shed for each one of us. Notice the simplicity of true Christian religion that John mentions in our text. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confession is not to be thought of as something that, like a door we go through to become a Christian. God instead would have us look at it like breathing, just something that needs to be ongoing in our lives. And that's why in the ancient church, the confession of sin was often placed right at the front of the church services. The gracious God that comes to forgive us and to dress us in that perfect righteousness of our Savior says, "This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word." How blessed are you in that faith. Amen. Let us rise then and join in singing the Te Deum.
Thank you. of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doing, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. And the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.